505 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Wednesday and it is hot. How hot is it? It's hot. I'm just telling you, it's hot. It's really hot. It's damn hot. And it's going to get hotter. I don't know if that's good, bad, or indifferent, man, but I'm just telling you, next week, north of 95. Not the road, no, the temperature. We will be at 95 and above. That's what I'm seeing right now, and not much in the way of precipitation. All right, so we know what is going to happen for the next few months, right? Whether you hate politics as I do, or you love politics like some do, we will certainly be focused on this upcoming election. I am in love with Virginia. I refer to it as my beloved Commonwealth. Now, I know some people are from here. And I'm not a from here, I'm a come here. But I came here. I got here as fast as I could. And I don't want to leave. I love Virginia. I especially love Hanover. Hanover County is simply the best place on planet Earth, and you cannot move here. We're all filled up. Sorry, we have no more room left, but it is a great place. And so I don't want to see damage done to Virginia. I don't want to see Virginia become California East. And I listen to the spam burgers and the Hashmis and the Joneses, and all I hear is their desire to destroy Virginia and simply turn it into California East. It's sad. They don't have support across the state, as you know, but they have support in Northern Virginia. This is the way the elections have gone. What, the last 20-some years, really, with the exception of a couple of years back when Glenn Youngkin and Winsom Sears and Jason Meares were able to win. It is traditionally Northern Virginia at this point that has dictated for the rest of us what we get, what we see, what we do, what happens to us, how high our taxes are, how we're treated, how our children are not being protected in schools. We get all of that from Northern Virginia. And if you listen to Spamberger, Hashmi, and Jones, you will hear how much they hate Donald Trump. Each of them on board with your daughters losing scholarships to boys. Each of them on board with boys being in the shower with your daughters. Is that really what most of us want? You remember there was a time that it was pitched, there was an idea pitched to let Northern Virginia leave. Be their own state, or join up with Maryland, go back into the District of Columbia. I don't know, all sorts of, there were. People talked about it seemingly seriously. I don't think it's a serious option anymore. But in retrospect, I'll bet you there are a few of us thinking, you know, we would just like to let that happen. It's a little late now. You are seeing performance art across America right now. Kabuki theater on the part of the leftists. You saw that that goofy Alex Padilla from California making sure that he was removed from the Kristi Noem press conference. And he has done a huge fundraising effort on behalf of it. He's turning it into commercials. He's claiming that he was identifying himself from the very beginning. He's a senator. Well, that's not true. And all you have to do is, as John Madden used to say, go to the tape. Go and look at the actual video. Padilla doesn't bother mentioning that he's a United States senator or his name until after he has been subdued. He charged at Kristi Noem. But it's not going to matter, right? Because you see the way the coverage is playing out. Same thing with this goofball up in New York. He's one of the goofballs who's running for mayor up there in New York City. And he decided to engage in his own little piece of performance art. Now, I want you to take a listen to this. ABC News. Yeah, ABC News. They decided to cover it. Take a listen. Cut number one.
Now to the dramatic scene in New York City. A candidate for mayor detained by ICE agents inside immigration court. Agents handcuffing him and taking him away. Here's Aaron Katursky.
Tonight, 1 week before the primary in the race for New York City's mayor, the dramatic scene involving one of the candidates inside immigration court.
Where is it?
ICE agents pulling Brad Lander, an elected official and Democratic candidate for mayor, through a hallway, pushing him against the wall, locking him in handcuffs.
You don't have authority to arrest U.S. citizens.
Sir, you don't have the authority to arrest U.S. citizens.
I'm not obstructing. I'm standing right here in the hallway. I asked to see the judicial warrant.
Lander had linked arms with a migrant officers were trying to arrest, prying the two men apart. Homeland Security officials accused Lander of assault and impeding a federal officer. Federal prosecutors said they're investigating, but late today, Lander walking out free.
ICE said you assaulted an officer.
I mean, you guys all saw it on video, so you know exactly what happened. And I think probably on advice of counsel, I will not characterize the events. But I certainly did not assault an officer.
It comes days after a United States senator was detained in California.
Hands up. I'm Senator Alex Padilla. I have questions for the secretary.
Also, I want to talk.
Senator Alex Padilla forcibly removed from a press conference as he tried to ask Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem about ICE arrests in Los Angeles. Today, Padilla emotional.
I was forced to the ground.
In his first speech on the Senate floor and issuing this warning.
What's happening is not just a threat to California. It's a threat to everyone in every state.
These public officials are being detained, David, during an uptick in ICE arrests at immigration courts around the country.
David, Aaron Katursky with us again tonight. Aaron.
It is a fascinating pseudo report. The guy in New York, he's the city comptroller. He said, oh, you all saw it. Do you notice how far into the report they say he had linked arms with the illegal alien? They didn't bother showing any of that video. Isn't that weird? They didn't show. No, they didn't. And if you want to see the video, go to The Jeff Katz Show over on Facebook. I've got it posted there, The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook. They didn't actually show that part of the video. Now, that is editing on the part of ABC National News. They made that decision. They know exactly what they want to show. I would imagine they know why they want to show it, and they know what they don't want to show and why they don't want to show it. So they had the story pre-written. They were going to present this guy as somehow being the victim of these ICE agents, and then you heard him ranting like a wacko. You don't have the right to arrest American citizens. Yeah, of course they do. Of course they do. These are federal law enforcement officers. There's no restriction. Well, you can only arrest short people. I'm sorry. No, it doesn't work that way. You can arrest. They have the full power to arrest, and that's what they were going to do. I wasn't interfering. Yeah, you were. That is not a subjective determination. Anyone who watches the entire video and watches you getting in between the illegal alien who is going to be arrested and blocking the officers trying to effect the arrest, clearly you're interfering. Then he says, I want to see a judicial warrant. For what? I don't need a warrant to arrest you when you are interfering with an arrest. You were not being picked up on a warrant. You have no standing in this matter, and you decided to inject yourself along with a full video crew. He brought his own video crew. Anybody want to wonder why? Because this is where they are now. It is all performance art. It is twisted. It really, really is. Don't forget, coming up just a couple of minutes from now, I got a pair of tickets to go see Tower of Power. They are going to be at the Beacon Theater this Friday, right around 5:20. We'll give you the chance to call in, and hopefully you'll be the winner of those tickets. Mike Dickinson is going to be along with us at 5:35, our citizen journalist. I'm curious to know what he's thinking. I want to hear what he has to say. about the defeat of Shannon Taylor, the defeat of LeVar Stoney, and how the House of Delegates races might be shaping up now that we know more. So he'll be with us at 5:35. James River Air text line, man, that is always available to you, and you should always take advantage of it. 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. 5:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 5:20, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. What are you doing Friday? How about heading down to the Beacon Theater, historic Beacon Theater in Hopewell? Tower of Power is playing, and I'd love to give you the tickets. Caller number 7. We'll take lucky caller number 7 at 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. 804-1140. Caller number 7, you're going to score yourself a pair of tickets for Tower of Power this Friday at the historic Beacon Theater in Hopewell. It's a great location. We've done a whole slew of our politics and pints events down there. I don't know when the next one might be or where it might be, but I'm sure it will be. So as soon as I know, you'll know. Okay? I'll let you know on that. Really a great decision coming out of the Supreme Court today. Did you see this? That says children can be protected by the state in which they live. They can't be subjected to chemical castration and genital mutilation, so-called gender change surgery, or the even more insulting term, gender affirming. Oh, disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. I would hope that there's some efforts here in our beloved Commonwealth to protect our children from this sort of twisted activity. And we've had hospitals right here in Virginia, as we know, saying, oh, we don't do any of that stuff. Then there was an order that came down from President Trump. They said, well, we're going to stop doing the stuff we never did. We don't do it, but we're going to stop doing it anyway. Now, with the Supreme Court stepping in, upholding the Tennessee ban on that surgery for teenagers and younger, well, there's an opportunity, really, to protect our kids. If you're 25 years old and you've decided, even though you're a boy, you want to be a girl, knock yourself out. I don't really care. I don't. And that, by the way, is the highest regard I can provide to you, that I am not spending any time thinking about how you should be living your life. However, if you're not 25, if you are 5 or 10 or 15, then I say to all of these disgusting folks who want to perform that activity on you, hands off. Do not touch the children. We do not allow children to enter into legal contracts. We do not allow children to get tattoos. We do not allow children to make decisions that will impact them for the rest of their life, because we know they are not equipped to do it. They are not mentally equipped to do it. So the idea that we would say full steam ahead with some 11-year-old who says, oh, I'm sure I was born in the wrong body, could you chop this off, please? No. Mm-mm. No. You have to stand for something. You've got to take a stand for something. And this ought to be one of those issues that everybody should be on board with. Well, we'll see. We'll see if the Supreme Court decision changes some of the activity, some of the statements, some of the conduct that we have seen, not only around the country, as I said, but here in Virginia, sadly. All right, Mike Dickinson, our citizen reporter, is going to be with us in just a couple of moments. We'll talk about the pretty decisive loss of LeVar Stoney in the city of Richmond. That's interesting. And Shannon Taylor, I guess, is still stuck being the Commonwealth's attorney in Henrico. 525, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 5:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday. You know what that means? Mike Dickinson, our citizen journalist, joins us. Mike has got some great insight, great analysis on issues impacting Central Virginia. I don't know that there's anybody who really gets as deep down and as hyper-local in the city and the suburban counties as Mike does. And so it seems perfectly appropriate to bring Mike in, talk a little bit about some of these results yesterday. Mike, thank you for being here, sir.
Anytime for you. Anytime for you.
I do appreciate it. We've got a lot that we need to talk about. Now, there's been a lot of talk about some of the bigger names, obviously, but I would be remiss if I didn't give you an opportunity to talk about just what a terrible job LeVar Stoney did. And, you know, just have at it, discuss it a little bit, and then we'll move on to some of the other stuff, all right?
Well, anything LeVar Stoney has touched fails. We know that.
Yep.
LeVar Stoney totally failed in the Metro Richmond area. Democrats rejected him. Hanover, Henrico, Richmond City, Chesterfield, he couldn't carry any of those yesterday. Hashmi carried all of them. Yep. And what is more surprising is that Stoney lost the nomination by about 3,500 votes. But he lost the city of Richmond, where he was mayor, mind you, for 8 years. LeVar Stoney was mayor of Richmond.
Yep.
He lost the city of Richmond by 10,000 votes. 10,000 votes.
Wow.
So the people of Richmond just totally rejected him. And you can see that, I mean, I think it was, I don't know if it's a referendum on him or his mm-hmm. style of leadership or his do-nothingness or whatever, but you could kind of see that coming because in the last few weeks he had kind of pivoted to making a desperation play in Northern Virginia where he ended up winning Loudoun. He won Loudoun County.
Wow.
But besides that, all LeVar could manage to win was a lot of these rural, old-school Democrat areas around Central Virginia, but he couldn't get much more than that.
It's interesting, Mike. Now, you know, he loses the city of Richmond by 10,000 votes. Out of the 72 precincts in the city, he only won 17 of them. You note that he carries Loudoun. I chalk that up to the Terry McAuliffe machine.
Right.
If he had even been able to get what do we say in cards, like a push, you know, if he would have gone 50-50, didn't win, didn't lose in the city, he'd be the nominee today.
Exactly, and I was about to say that point.
Oh.
If he had gone 50-50 in the city, he would have won, but he has just done such a terrible job, and I think that a lot of people are looking at it in hindsight. Some of them, I mean, look, we've both been talking about how bad LeVar is for the last 8 years, really,
right.
Me and you.
That's right, that's
on
right.
On here, we've been critical of everything he's done, and it seems like the last few months, everybody else has woken up, especially with this ongoing water crisis,
yep.
about just how bad of a job LeVar Stoney did. So now, hopefully, LeVar will move on to a job that he's not qualified for, like asking, do you want fries with that? Because, sadly, that's all. I mean, he's famous for being Terry McAuliffe's flunky,
right.
with his green energy cars, and he couldn't even run that business right. So,
yeah.
Good job, LeVar. I hope you have a good vacation. Don't come back. Go do something you're good at, like playing with Play-Doh.
There you go. I will not miss him. I just want to be sure he leaves. But you know what? If it says he leaves faster than I promise, I will miss him. But he's just got to go. Let's go to Henrico County, somebody else that you have had some interactions with over the years, Shannon Taylor, the Commonwealth's attorney. Look, she has been running for attorney general for years, right? This was just the open campaign. She's been doing that for years, and she too comes up short.
Yes, she ended up losing her race by about 10,000 votes.
Wow.
48%. She got a lot of the mountainous western part of Virginia and some of the central Virginia locations, but not a whole lot.
Right.
Jay Jones pretty much got all of Tidewater, all of the southern North Carolina border counties.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at the end of the day, Shannon Taylor just, I don't know if her message wasn't good or what it was, but even in Henrico County, she didn't do that well. She only won Henrico by 6,000 votes. She only won Hanover by about 500 votes. She didn't run up really the good margins that she needed in those other counties.
It's interesting. Now I wonder what she does. Does she stay as Commonwealth's attorney in Henrico? Does she pitch for something else? You just any thoughts on that?
I don't know where she goes from here. Maybe she tries again. Maybe for the sake of Henrico County, she'll leave and finally let somebody come into Henrico County that would do a good job and support the police and get law and order back going on.
Yeah.
But, you know, she was kind of a victim of, I mean, she was somebody that talked a lot about DEI and BLM. And at the end of the day, it seems like, you know, a good portion of the BLM, voters or support voters voted for Jay Jones, even though they didn't know him, they voted for him. And, and it's, I mean, she was a victim of her own philosophy.
Yeah, interesting stuff. Mike Dickinson joining us. Mike joins us once a week, every Wednesday at 5:35. We let him analyze the things that are going on. A great citizen journalist doing work that, quite frankly, I don't think anybody else does. Let's talk about some of these other things. You mentioned law and order. And in the city of Richmond, I thought this was fascinating. Colette McEachin just blew Tom Barber out of the water. I mean, it wasn't even close at all, not even close. I don't think he won a single solitary precinct. And is that because she has been so friendly to the criminal element, or is it something else? Was he just not a very good candidate?
I think that it's a combination of both. She has not done anything to really irritate many people. I mean, except for the people who want law and order, she hasn't gone after it. Her tagline is she always talks about restorative justice and all of this other stuff.
Yeah.
And we've seen her track record of letting criminals off. I mean, you can see how it is. I mean, we've talked about on this show many times, 95% of the big crimes that happen in Richmond, we can go back and pull the court records, and it's been somebody who's had an interaction, and they've been arrested before, and they've been in the city of Richmond before, and the criminal justice system, and they've been let off with probation, no prosk. It's kind of an ongoing cycle in the Richmond City courts with Colette McEachin.
Right,
but,
right.
I mean, I also think Tom Barber is also, I mean, you talk about Colette McEachin being bad. Tom Barber is Mr. Portland. He wanted to turn Richmond into Portland, Oregon, as far as with his, you know, attack on the police and not letting them do anything, and really, really, I mean, dangerous. So with the battle between Colette McEachin and Tom Barber is really, do you want to deal with a rattlesnake or do you want to deal with a scorpion?
Wow. All right. Let's talk about the sheriff's race, because this was interesting. You know, Bill Burnett, of course, was the lieutenant colonel for Sheriff Woody, and Antoinette Irving has been the sheriff for 8 years. She just got reelected, clearly, to be the sheriff for 4 years more. I had both of them on this program. I thought they had very, very different points of view. But I would have thought, Mike, that in a city that has become as, quote, progressive, as left-wing as Richmond has, that there would have been more concern for the inmates at the Richmond City Jail and just what a terrible situation has existed now for the last couple of years under Sheriff Irving, but apparently not the case.
No, she won by about 2,500 votes, 54% to 45%. And looking at the breakdown of the city, she really, I mean, Irving, as terrible as she is, she got most of the high-density areas. She got most of the Fan, Church Hill, Ginner Park, a lot of the big areas on Southside. Burnett did well. He got a bunch of precincts. He just didn't get some of those Southside precincts that he got 4 years ago. But I mean, she ran up the big margins over in Church Hill, the Fan, those areas. She did well, and it's surprising because that's where a lot of these, you know, anti-police, treat the criminals as kid gloves people live at, but, you know, and they're dying from overdoses in her jail, but they don't really seem to want to do anything about it.
It's so bizarre. Also, I had a number of people, some of whom were relatively new to the area, but they said, well, where are the Republicans? And I thought... you should have warned me because I was drinking coffee. You know, I got to do a spit take. But, okay, where were the Republicans? Not a single Republican running for Commonwealth's attorney or for sheriff. What about in November? Can anybody run as an independent, or is that it? It's done.
It's done now. It's done now. There'll be no other. I mean, Irving is one. I mean, this was the election for sheriff. Yep. There'll be no Republican person, a nominee running against her. And same thing with Commonwealth attorney. Mm. And it's sad because, you know, we talk good. We're very good at talking. But the people responsible for finding local candidates, at the end of the day, everything is local. You've got to have local candidates. You've got to have an army behind you. And you've got to find people willing to put their name on the line and go out there and fight. And if you're not able to do that, then you're going to be stuck in this bad situation like the city of Richmond is.
Yep. It is. Well, it is what it is. Mike, I always appreciate you being here. I'm not sure where you are. Social media presence. I know you were building something, getting something, together. It's coming. Excellent.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
All right.
Coming.
Now, the other part of this conversation that we have to address, when exactly does John Cena drop that title?
I don't know. It's very interesting so far to see what's going on and when they're going to take it off of him and who they're going to put it back on and how they're playing out the storyline. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Because he's got, what, just a couple of months left with the company, and then he, I guess, moves to Hollywood and gets another hair transplant or whatever his deal is. But, he's done.
Supposedly by the end of the year, everything is his last. It's his last SummerSlam, his last WrestleMania, everything is his last. So I don't know when they're going to, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's got to happen soon. All right. Well, listen, Mike, I always appreciate you being here. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. You're a good part of this program. We always get such great feedback. I'm looking forward to you getting some of your social media back up and running ASAP because there's a lot of people that want to follow you. Thank you, sir. We will talk next week.
Thanks.
Thank you. That is Mike Dickinson. He is our citizen journalist. I know there are a lot of people know about Andy Ngo. I'm telling you, that guy right there, he is our local Andy Ngo. 546, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Thanks again to Mike Dickinson, running just a couple of moments behind, but always got time for a John Cena update, right? I don't even follow the product in this day and age, and even I'm wondering, okay, well, now, I mean, I know enough. They got the strap on him. He's leaving. He's retiring. He's going elsewhere. You got to get it off him. By the by, I hate the fact we're having this conversation. Because, now I'm going to sound like your grandpa. Yeah, back in my day. But back in my day, we had a little thing called kayfabe. We didn't talk about this stuff. Right? You didn't know what was going on. And that was the point. We were putting on a show. We've always been putting on a show. But you weren't supposed to know the lines in the script or, you know, where the trap door was located or any of that stuff. But, well, I mean, it is what it is now. I was on ESPN many years ago. Is it, gosh, I'm not an ESPN watcher. Never have it. I think it was called Beyond the Lines or In the Lines or something like that. Some with the lines. I know that was something with the lines on ESPN. I don't even know if it's still on. But they came and they did probably a week with our promotion in New England, National Wrestling Alliance New England. And they were there as we were putting stuff together. And there were a bunch of us who were like, hey, we can't do this. And it was at the time, quite frankly, where Mr. McMahon had already exposed the business completely and totally. And it had just become something else. And so, yeah, they got to see us putting stuff together and talking about things being weeks out. I think they probably came to one of our TV tapings. Our TV tapings would be one day. It was almost always a Saturday. And they would start 7, 8 in the morning, and we wouldn't get out of there till midnight. We were doing weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks worth of TV. And you had to remember stuff, and you had to remember, you know, what you were wearing. How many sets of clothes did you wear? Can you change something up to make it look a little bit fresher? Where's the house show going to be? But it's still to this day, I have such great fond memories of it. And you make great friends. When you're on the road, you make some good friends. And then it's interesting to me, I have a great guy, and you probably know him, right? Dr. Bob Quarles. I've talked about Dr. Bob. Bob was the medical director for the World Wrestling Federation. I think he spent about 5 years working for them, traveling all over the place. And it's just one of those things. I love spending time with people who spent time in the business, and some of them at much higher levels than I was. You know, I never made it to Stanford. I mean, that was never, you know, Stanford, Connecticut. That wasn't my thing, but great fun with that. And the good doctor and I are planning to do a pilgrimage this summer down to see Jimmy Valiant. You know, Jimmy Valiant lives down in Allegheny County, and he's got his birthday coming up, and I think Jimmy is probably at this point 81. So we're going to do a road trip. I don't know. I just felt compelled to share that with you. So there you go. All right. Speaking of birthdays, yes, send a birthday card to Jimmy Valiant, but please go to my Facebook pages, get the address, and send a birthday card to my pal, your pal, Emily Morrissey. Okay. She's got a big birthday coming up in a couple of days, and I want to make sure she's loaded with cards. Have a fantastic evening. God willing, we do this all over again on Friday, starting at 3. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA.